Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. There is a lot of enthusiasm these days for Donald Trump among racially conscious whites. A friend of mine often remarks, "I don't care who wins the election as long as it's Donald Trump." One pro-white writer stated that the reason the Jews are risking a backlash by flooding Europe so rapidly with invaders is because U.S. support for such actions will evaporate soon as we enter the coming Trump dictatorship. Maybe he was halfway kidding, but we've had nothing but bad news for so long that even a little whiff of hope is exciting and infectious. A very talented pro-white blogger tells us that Chris Christie's recent endorsement of Trump means that, quote, "the tides are turning and the sands are shifting under the feet of the Jews," close quote, and refers to the expected America under Trump as the New Rome. It's easy to understand this fandom. Trump says he'll halt Muslim immigration, build a wall on the Mexican border, and force the Mexicans to pay for it. He says to the Jews' faces that Jews won't support him because he doesn't need their money. If sufficiently annoyed, he tells billionaire media moguls to go to hell and boycotts their venues. And he's intensely hated by all the right people, not just the anti-white liberal establishment, but the anti-white conservative Republicans and Jewish neocons whose Middle Eastern wars Trump decries as disasters promoted by liars. He steals stone-dumb conservative and military-industrial complex support from the neocons by declaring himself to be, quote, "more militaristic than anybody," close quote. He steals slope-headed evangelical support from the establishment Republicans by vowing loyalty to Israel with more believable conviction than anyone. But most of all, Trump exudes strength and frankness, something that even the most exalted and talented establishment politicians fail to do. We can just tell by the way they carry themselves and the things they say that they are kept men. Men who read from a script. Men who run from truth the same way that Superman runs from kryptonite. Men with no will, no goals, or even thoughts of their own, except finding new ways to flim-flam the boobs and curry favor with their masters. Men with little power of their own. Men with no principles except advancing their careers and ballooning their bank accounts. Dispossessed white Americans, even the most clueless, and even some non-whites, are drawn to that frankness. Disappointed by politicians again and again and again, they have a strong feeling that everyone's been lying to them. And they notice how the establishment polls and the media all seem to frantically, fanatically hate Trump. And that's proof, in their view, that the honesty they sense from Trump is real. It's the greatest endorsement of all. And everyone is drawn to and respects strength. Trump has his own money and made himself a billionaire. That's strength. Trump doesn't need donors and tells them off. That's strength. Trump doesn't need endorsements but gets them anyway. That's strength. Trump is on a roll politically. That's strength. Trump made his fortune dealing and negotiating with the meanest, slickest, trickiest real estate operators on planet Earth and came out on top. That's strength. Trump is winning, even though the system hates him. That's strength. Trump is a winner, and that's irresistible to many, many people. It's a deep, ancient instinct. People love to be, maybe even need to be, on a winning team. Trump radiates and probably really possesses that independent, I'm in charge here spirit that made John Kennedy so magnetic, even to those who loathed his policies, and so hated by those who preferred a cowed and paid for man. Now, I'd like to believe that Trump will make America great again, close the borders, and stop our country's descent into the status of Brazil with nukes. And I admit that it is remotely possible that he, despite his fawning over his Jewish grandchildren and promises of eternal loyalty to the Zionist entity, secretly intends a night of the long knives for the neocons and oligarchs, and really means 10 times more than he says about closing the border. It is remotely possible that Trump is hiding his real racial nationalist beliefs about race and Jewish power. Possible, but in my view, just slightly more likely than Bernie Sanders believing and doing the same things. There is just too much evidence to the contrary. If Donald Trump himself is to be believed, he is far from a revolutionary. He believes in the current system and not only wants to preserve it, but to extend its power and its symbiotic relationship with the Jewish power structure. Trump is fanatically pro-Jewish and a Zionist, although he doesn't need Jewish money at all. He is a voluntary Zionist. He describes himself as 1,000% pro-Israel. As pointed out by James Harting, quote, "He has a son who is married to a Jewess and a daughter who is married to a Jew. That daughter, Ivanka, has converted to Judaism and is raising Trump's grandchildren as practicing Jews." His Wikipedia biography notes, of his daughter Ivanka's conversion to Judaism, he said, "Not only do I have Jewish grandchildren, but I have a Jewish daughter, and I am very honored by that." The writer Andrew Joyce notes, quote, "I was intrigued to discover that Ivanka's previous 2 significant relationships were also with Jews, Greg Hirsch and James Gubelman." Of further note is Ivanka's very close friendship with Chelsea Clinton, another progeny of the American power elite who married the Jewish financier Mark Mezvinsky in 2010. The Trump and Clinton situations are excellent examples of the centuries-old practice of strategic Jewish intermarriage with native elites. Close quote. Back in 1999, when the Jews were looking for Gentile frontmen to attack and destroy Pat Buchanan's presidential bid, Dr. William L. Pierce pointed out that one of the Jewish Daily Forward's choices for that role was none other than Donald Trump. The Jewish Telegraphic Agency states that no other GOP candidate has as many ties to Jews as Trump. Quote, "Trump is from New York, works in professions saturated with Jews, and long has been a vocal supporter of Israel. His daughter and 2 grandchildren are Jewish. The executive vice president of his organization is Jewish, and Trump certainly has chutzpah. He has served as a grand marshal at New York's annual Salute to Israel parade. He was honored with an award at the annual gala for the Allgemeiner, a hawkishly pro-Israel Jewish news organization. I have a Jewish daughter. That wasn't in the plan, but I'm very glad it happened," Trump said at the event in Manhattan. On Israel, he said, "We love Israel. We will fight for Israel 100%, 1,000%. It will be there forever. Before the 2013 Israeli election, Trump recorded a video message endorsing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. "You truly have a great prime minister in Benjamin Netanyahu. He's a winner. He's highly respected. He's highly thought of by all," Trump said in the 32nd spot. "Vote for Benjamin. Terrific guy. Terrific leader. Great for Israel." When it comes to the Trump Organization, Trump's right-hand man is a Jewish lawyer, Michael Cohen, who also serves as a top campaign aide. Another Jewish advisor is Samuel Nunberg. Close quote. In one of the Republican debates, Trump was asked, "What about support of Israel? Essential for continuing stability in the Middle East, obviously, and for maintaining a firm stance against terrorism. Will you emphatically stand with Israel?" Trump answered, "Yes." Very simple answer, yes. "They've been our most reliable ally, especially in the Middle East. And you look at what's happened with Israel, they were so against this horrible Iran deal. They were so against it." On the Iran deal, Trump endlessly parrots the conservative meme that "we gave Iran $150 billion, a preposterous lie. The truth is that the U.S. finally released $150 billion that had been brazenly stolen from Iran and frozen in the heavily Jewish U.S. banking system, that's as punishment for daring to do 1/100th of what God's holy people have already done in the field of nuclear energy. Trump, who is nothing if not financially savvy, has to know he's lying about that. When Trump recently announced four members of his so-called kitchen cabinet, they included tired old multiracialist neocon and former education secretary Bill Bennett, fanatical Zionist Rudy Giuliani, Reagan-era supply-side economist Arthur Laffer, and Heritage Foundation advocate of replacement migration Stephen Moore. Sounds like a Trumpian Washington will be the same old Washington, after all. What about Trump's position on the most crucial issue from a white point of view? Immigration. All good, right? Wrong. James Harding wrote, quote, "Trump is not against non-white immigration, but rather is only against illegal immigration. The U.S. is being drowned in a tidal wave of Hispanic, Asian, and African immigrants. It does not matter whether or not these invaders are here legally or illegally. All that matters is that they are non-white. But that is of no concern to Trump. In fact, his immigration program actually promises to help non-white workers, presumably at the expense of their white counterparts. For example, in seeking to reform the H-1B work visa program for foreigners, the official Trump platform states that he will, quote, improve the number of black, Hispanic, and female workers in Silicon Valley who have been passed over, close quote. Not a word about improving the lot of white workers. Note also that he lumps woman employees together with racial minorities. This is in keeping with the old order practice of pitting white men and white women against each other, as though they were rivals, and dishonestly portraying Negroes and other minorities as the logical allies of white women." Close quote. Early in his campaign, Trump was a bit cagey about white nationalists supporting him. He said he didn't need David Duke's endorsement, adding, however, that he didn't need anyone's endorsement. When a reporter pinned him down and asked him if he would disavow an endorsement from Dr. Duke, he said, "Sure, if it would make you feel better." More recently, when David Duke actually did endorse him, his response was an almost instant, "Disavow, disavow, disavow." National Vanguard commentator John I. Johnson recently noted that, quote, "Sensing forward momentum, Trump has begun disavowing white support. David Duke and even Jared Taylor, with more to come. Once I'm president," Trump states, "I'm a totally different person. I can be the most politically correct person you've ever seen." Even before he's president. Close quote. Donald Trump openly states that he supports torture, the reinstatement of torture of helpless captives who have been secretly rendered into secret prisons and who are our opponents in the U.S. wars for Israel, which are still boiling over across the Middle East. "Torture works," says the Donald. How much of a leap is it from that to rendering and torturing dissident Americans who oppose the so-called war on terror or other policies of the regime in Washington? Well, if Trump's position on NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden, who revealed more of the crimes of the Washington regime than any man in recent memory, is any indication, it's not such a far leap at all. Donald Trump says that Snowden should be executed. We should also consider this. The fortunes of the National Alliance and of the white resistance in general are tied to two things. The ability of a sustainable critical fraction of the white public to grasp the serious threats to our race's continued existence, and the will of that critical fraction to do something about it. Trumpery is, therefore, not only unrealistic foolishness, but a direct threat to our task as racially conscious white men and women, as agents of the life force. It is a threat because, similar to the sheep-like faith held by many whites in the 1980s, that Ronald Reagan was going to take care of all our problems, it allows us to relax and to mentally push off our responsibilities onto a plastic savior. It gives us psychological permission to do nothing. And that could be fatal. How many years were wasted while white Americans kept faith with Reagan and did nothing themselves to end their dispossession? How many kept faith even after longtime employee of the Jewish power structure Ronald Reagan signed the bill establishing the Martin Luther King holiday? How long do you think you'd have to wait before honest, frank Donald Trump does what needs to be done to stop the death of white America, thereby going against everything he says he believes in? How long before you'd finally throw in the towel on this fanboy hope of yours? Well into his second term? After he starts torturing white nationalist security risks? After he authorizes the rendition and execution of Edward Snowden or other whistleblowers who expose the crimes of the regime that the Donald loves so well? Let's not waste our time on helping Donald Trump when our future depends on what we do for ourselves right now. Let's not waste our precious time on waiting for Donald Trump to do what we dream about him doing, for he never will do those things. We must do them ourselves. Let's not even waste 90 seconds of our time pulling a lever for Donald Trump, or 90 minutes of our time registering and driving to where the lever is, since the other end of that lever is connected to a Jewish fist. And the time we are granted for our lives on earth is ticking away, and we could better use, much better use, those minutes of our life telling our neighbors and friends and family about the absolutely uncompromising vision of the National Alliance. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. Volume 2 of our CD series, containing 20 more of the very best radio speeches by our founder, Dr. William L. Pierce, is now available. It's entitled William Pierce, The Power of Truth, Volume 2. To get your copy, just visit natall.com, that's N-A-T-A-L-L.com, and click on CD offer. Or send $16 for one CD, $50 for five CDs to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. That's National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Or visit natall.com, N-A-T-A-L-L.com, and click on CD offer. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal. And equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout.